Hello, and welcome to the 25th Hour Ideas podcast with your host, Michael Gallagher. Once again, we're tackling subject matters at the intersection of sports, economics, and finance. This time, I met up with my most entrepreneurial-minded friend, Chris, and our conversation sparked the idea for this episode. I wanted to learn more about his thoughts on starting a business, learning new skills, and taking risks. His latest venture, Meet Me Card, sets out to be the last business card you'll ever need. So, without further ado, let's get to it. Chris, thank you for joining me today. I've been looking forward to this.
I'm really excited to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
Perfect. Well, I've got a lot I want to ask you about today. And before we get into that, maybe you can give a quick refresher on how we crossed paths.
It was a long time ago. We actually worked together and we worked at a gym and you were, I guess, you were the lead man. So I was just following your lead and we both became Chester, right?
Exactly. Well, to give context for people who have no clue what Chester is, Chester is currently the Viking mascot for Westchester Community College.
Correct.
And so we both know we're in that mascot brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And that was my first time in any real supervisory role. And working with someone like you made it a piece of cake. So I always appreciated that.
Thank you. Thank you. It was easy because you were very, open-minded. You were very welcoming and you were always open to new ideas. But at the same time, you explained what we needed to get done a lot of times and we moved on that and we worked as a team. I liked your leadership because you had a follow my example kind of essence to you, you know? So that really helped me push along. When I saw you, I was like, okay, this is what we got to do. And I'm fully supporting this guy. 100%. Let's go for it. I'm going to help him no matter what. So that's where I wanted.
Well, I am speechless at that. Thank you for that. And I conversely, I feel like I've learned a ton from you watching you while we were working together. And then since then, we're going to get to all these things. I want to ask personally about all these things. The overarching topic of discussion I had in mind is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you build multiple businesses, learn many skill sets, do all these, not crazy things, but crazy. crazy in the sense that they're very not interconnected. Mm. And I think you've built a very diverse skill set that I want to tackle here piece by piece.
Yeah.
So I guess first, what I'm interested in is how do you go about germinating an idea for a business? And then once you get that idea, what is the overall process for building it from the ground up?
That's a good question. Where I can jump in, give the real quick answer to this and really help people understand, because a lot of people give generic answers and they're like, what you really want to do is follow your passion. It's totally great. But I really want to give people, if I was ever asked that question by anyone, I really want to give them, how can you literally start? And the biggest thing was, if you see a problem and it co-aligns with what you like doing, you're on the right path. Because for example, like when we were in college, I really tried to solve a problem with a lot of people having horrible teachers and they were just reading the book a bedtime story to the students who paid a lot of money. Instead, I created something which was called Pass Your Notes at that time. And it was to help students study ahead of time to get a jump start looking ahead and seeing what they had to study so they had more time. Instead of crunching all this information within 3 months, they could have literally a year to crunch it all, you know, and then guarantee themselves a better chance at passing. And because we have work, we have school, we have family issues, we have, you know, rent to pay and all these things. So it really just crushes us in 3 months. And that's like, that coincides with the answer I gave, where it says, you see a problem, you help the many. Like there was the thing for Steve Jobs where he said, If you help the many will help you back. And that's what I really tried to do a lot of times, really try to help people. But along this sense, with something that I love to do. you know, because I loved interacting with people. I loved talking with people. I loved using technology and being active. And literally, like, if I had to put hands on, I'd put hands on to things to help develop things. So does that help out?
Going off what you said about helping the many, I was going to ask you about this a little later, but we'll get into it now. How do you decide which problems to solve? I guess that better ties into coming up with an idea for a business. What, in my mind, I would think you could come up with a problem that has a lucrative opportunity, but on a smaller scale, or maybe on the other end of the spectrum, something that is an incremental improvement, but could help nearly everyone. And there's a huge variety of opportunities here. What do you look for?
Right. I hear you. And that's a good question. The way I'm going about it and how to decide which problem to solve, a lot of times we can be faced with many problems around us and we can see like, oh, I have an idea for that. I have an idea for that. I have an idea for that. And what it comes down to is, what can I tackle once? What can I focus on first? And at the same time, what is going to financially be, in a way, not a big burden on me to take on, but work and flow with me? Because those three, let's imagine there's three problems in front of you. Problem one, problem two, problem three are there. But if you go for problem two right away, you may, you know, financially get burdened. If you go for problem three, you may be illiterally or mentally not ready for that one. But if you go for problem one, it will teach you along the way many things that can, build you up financially or build you up mentally for whatever is coming on for number two and three. And those are the things where you have to then, and then you ask yourself, well, how would I know which one to go for? Because those are great things, Chris. But what it is you take in the idea, you look at it, you sit down literally and you write it down. I did it for paper, and you literally have yourself critique yourself. Then you have close friends that you know are supportive to critique you. Then you go to people who are not supportive and you then ask them for critique. But don't take it so personally. You just have to understand, is this idea going to really work well? You have to believe in it from the beginning and see how far you believe in it to the end of the person that tells you the last critique. And if you're still believing it and you still see a possibility for it to produce and succeed, go for it. But you have to be understanding that if it doesn't rock, like for me, for example, I knew I tried to help out students with that idea for Pastor Notes. But then there came a point where I was like, I was working alone, I was doing things and it was too much financially and I wasn't ready for that. Down the road, it will come down. But I learned a lot trying it. Don't get me wrong. Trying is good. But you have to understand when you have to take a pause on it, not quit it, but just pause on it, put it aside and try to rebuild yourself. Because at the time I was not able to financially, I had to pay people to help get notes and things like that, find different ways, take time to get notes and syllabuses. And really it took a toll. So then I backed off and I kept on pushing forward with always investing knowledge into myself. And that's really, a lot of people don't understand. They think, I'm just going to go for it. I've seen people do it overnight. They're overnight because they just got to you overnight, but they've been doing it for a while, just investing themselves in courses to learn, reading books, watching YouTube videos, just really practicing it, or even asking competition, how can I do, like, what do you guys do? And then it's really taking away the ego and really pushing yourself forward and not thinking it's just your ego. You got to think, push back your ego and really push forward what you need, the business needs. It's like kind of like a baby, you know? What does it need versus what don't you want to do?
Two things you said there. Yeah. One, investing in yourself. And two, you didn't say those words exactly, but you perfectly described dealing with the sunk cost fallacy, that it's such a hard thing to deal with, how you were relatively far along down the road with Pass Your Notes and then decided to pivot away from it, where many people, that's where the sunk cost comes in, that people say, oh, I've invested this much time, this much effort, this much money into it. And they factor all that stuff into their decision whether to keep going or not. And when you factor those things in, it seems like the right decision to keep going, because you don't want to throw away everything you've done in the past. And you've had that mindset of not factoring those things into the decision, and you're looking at the unit economics of what's my customer acquisition cost, what is my cost of goods here, how would I make money going forward, or how would I lose as little money as possible in the near term? So you were taking those factors into account more so than time spent in the past.
Exactly.
Which is very tough for people to do.
Right. 100%. And what it is, a lot of times people make a mistake and they've invested so much time and they're like, well, I've done so much and I shouldn't give up. Yes. Okay. That's fine. But you have to understand that because you've been doing a mistake for a long time doesn't mean you have to continue. Literally, that mistake can be teaching you to go towards a different direction. And that other direction can actually lead you back to your path, but with a different you. You know, every level you progress forward needs a different you. You're going to have to let go of a lot of things that you used to do. Like, I used to get angry if something didn't work. Now I look at it, I'm like, all right, lesson learned, move on. How can I do it better?
Before I forget, the other thing you mentioned, investing in yourself. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned books, and what's fascinating, what's been very fascinating to me is that the amount of return on investment you get from reading a book. When you're reading a book, mm-hmm. it takes you maybe, depending on the size of the book, a couple of hours, a couple of days, whatever it is. It takes that person who wrote the book months, maybe years, and thousands more times the investment that you put into reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
So just the act of reading a book is maybe the greatest return on investment for your time and money you could have. And I think that's something that not a lot of people are doing nowadays, because there's so many impracticalities with physical books. And in the grand scheme of things, I was reading somewhere on Twitter where someone was saying, if we take a big step back and look at history, if books start to be phased out now, if everyone's using a Kindle or everyone's reading electronically, there's only a tiny period in human history where we ever would have learned from books or written word.
I agree with you 100%, because even right now, like, I have books I've read, but I took a pause on because it's such a huge book. For example, I have a Sherlock Holmes book. I love reading it. It's a good fiction. But you know what's funny? I invested in that book for the adventure because also it teaches me a lot of how Sherlock Holmes himself looks at things. And if you can see through the eyes of other people, you will see a whole new world each time. And with that, you can look at your own, entrepreneur adventure with different eyes, and maybe have the eyes of Albert Einstein, Sherlock Holmes, Elon Musk, anybody of those types, you know, to be able to look through your business. Imagine you ask them to look through your business, right? That, and if you read their stuff, you'd be able to look through your business the same kind of way, you know, with that kind of, mentality. And you can, all the information they give, it's not that you have to take all of it. You can buffet kind of pick at it. You know, like, I like this about Sherlock Holmes. I learned a lot from Sherlock Holmes, just to be honest. And I learned a lot from Elon Musk. I learned a lot from reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So reading books helps you. And it doesn't mean that you have to, like, read straight through 3 days. Like, I got to get it done. No, it's really have enjoyment. Like, when I went to each chapter and I read, like, the title for the next chapter, I was like, oh, man, that's going to be a good read tomorrow. Pause, put it on the side. See, that like, where that investment for like $13 for a book, it came in better. And for me personally, I highlight my books and write in it. It's like interactive reading. On the Kindle and things, I love it too. But the thing is, I can't, like, you can highlight in the book, but I like the actual, like, pen to paper feel, because it, like, lets me write notes on the side, and, like, I get to remind myself. So when I flip through the pages, I'm like, ah, yes, I remember that. And I was thinking this. This is going to help me for my business, you know?
I'll have to include the link to this in the episode notes here. Mm-hmm. But a huge component of what you just said, and I want to give more focus to reading and annotating and taking notes in books, because something I learned, and it was just a few months ago, maybe a year ago, is about the transmission process of information between you and what you're interacting with. And there's an economist, Andy, I can't remember his name. It's going to be in the episode notes, where he was making the case against books. And it was interesting because his case wasn't really against books or lectures or these other methods of learning, but it was against how the person on the receiving end interacts or fails to interact with them. Mm-hmm. And to put it another way, when if you're reading a book and you don't make any marks in it at all, you're not writing a maybe separately about what you think about it. If you're reading a book, if you sit down and read it cover to cover, you're not getting tested on it or anything like that, in a few weeks, you'll forget most of what you read. If you're underlining, putting notes in the margins, highlighting, doing all this stuff, and then you come back to it maybe infrequently, you'll remember so much more about what you read. And it's something I found firsthand. If I go back through a book now that I read maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I'll flip through it and forget maybe all but the key point or two. But if I'm going back through something I started reading months ago where I have, maybe I put asterisks, like a different number of asterisks based on how important the information was, or if I'm underlining, writing notes to myself, I could sort of go back in time to when I was reading and what I was thinking. It's a very interesting experience. I don't know if you've had something like that yourself.
Exactly. For your book, you saw me. I sent you a picture. I highlighted. I circled. It was so intense, so great. It was a, how you say, an eye opener when I started reading it. And to know you and to see you have written this, I was just blown away, impressed. And it was great because I learned so much, like how the players have to think, how the coaches have come into the locker room and just really set the ambiance, and how you were able to sneak past, you know, certain people, but you were taking in so much investment for doing that. Sometimes like you were taking a risk, which you were like, I really want to take this risk because it's a good investment for me. If I got into the locker room and heard what they were talking about, I can get a much more idea, better at playing field. See, all of a sudden, because you wrote that and I was interacting with you, writing and highlighting, I felt like I was there, you know? So that was incredible. Yeah, it was incredible. Love your book. Definitely.
That's you had sent me the picture. Thank you so much. I've sold dozens of copies. Or dozen, maybe singular. But if to see that picture of you highlighting and sending that to me, it hit me differently. Because it's the same kind of process of maybe if you're publishing a blog, an article, a video, book, whatever it is, it's all like one-way communication. But when you sent that, it made a two-way communication back at me. And it just, I can't describe it. It was just an incredible feeling. And I want to pivot off this. Mm-hmm. I want to pivot into something that was underlying what we've been talking about is focus. And not only what to focus on, but I think you were saying something along these lines before of what to eliminate from your focus is almost just as important as finding something to focus on.
Right. Yeah, 100%. This can go many different ways, but to give you the strong point of this, what to focus on, for example, I was focused on pass your notes at that time, but I had to take a pause and pivot and really kind of push forward for a different angle. Nowadays that I have a business, I had to even eliminate some people's attitudes, some of my own things I was doing that I had to eliminate so I can really give a hone on focus for businesses. If it's not investing into your company, if it's not bringing you joy to your company, if it's not, how do you say, growing your company or even growing you to help grow the company, it's really all influences. And you really got to push those away. And what it comes down to is I have people around me that are investing mentally into the company, investing emotionally into the company and financially. And those things are really helpful. It doesn't mean to cut off people and like say goodbye, forget you, I never talk to you, I hate you, nothing like that. It's just that you bring it back and you're like, I need to focus here. I'm sorry, I can't spend time with you. And they're saying that, there's the people that bring you 20%, I think, energy. And you got to push that people aside for a minute and focus on the 80%, double down on that. So that the people at 20%, you don't kick them out of your life, you know? You just have them there because, you know, we're all human and we need emotion connections. And the 80% will help you grow. Kind of like how Bill Gates, when he went for many other people, he went through many people for his businesses, but 11 people decided to invest in him and he then honed down and those people are now billionaires and he himself is a billionaire. And it's that kind of concept where if you focus on the right thing, and you focus on the right person, those focuses will actually help you skyrocket higher. And really, again, you can't like lose the fact that you can't be like, I have to focus on this, 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 and blame them for whatever is happening to you. You have to focus also on you and realize that the biggest focus you have to have is you and who you are. Your philosophy will adapt into, will actually influence your business, your culture, your money, your bank statement, you know, those things. That's the kind. If you're the kind that your philosophy is like, I got it and I spend it, then you're, guess what? You're going to be having a cup that's empty soon. But if you're the kind that's philosophy, like your philosophy is like, I got it. I got money for the company. I'm going to reinvest it into the company. It's like a baby again. I'm going to buy it milk. I'm going to buy it whatever food it needs, things like that. It's going to grow stronger. And that strength of that business is going to feed you back. You see, that's the different focuses that you can focus on.
If you took in finance, I think most people know if you're a regular investor, if you're not in the finance world at all, but everyone knows you have to do something with your money other than keep it under your mattress. So, and
right.
what most people try to teach young investors is the importance of compound interest. And it's not just that if you put your money at an early age, if you save at an early age, you're going to be making compound interest that snowballs over time. It doesn't just apply to money. It applies to other things as well. If you start reading books earlier, if you start practicing skills and deliberate practice earlier, if you do any of these things, and you take advantage of positive compounding, if you're learning a new language, all these things can pay huge dividends down the road. The difficult part, though, is seeing the future benefits.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. You have to see, not just seeing the, but if today, if I want to start learning Spanish and say I knew nothing about Spanish, I have to picture myself being fluent in Spanish, maybe way down the road, but know that with every stumble and every failed quiz and every obstacle in the present, that it's getting me closer to the end goal. Because everyone's a beginner in everything they start with. There was a day when LeBron James was terrible at basketball, but nobody likes being bad at something. So you have to have that mindset to pull those future benefits forward and keep making that decision day after day to keep at something.
Right. If you ever watched the show Thundercats by any chance, it's an old show and they've rebooted, but have you ever seen that show?
I haven't seen it.
It's okay.
I haven't heard of it. This is, it's okay. I like my TV.
Yeah. It's a cartoon that's on Cartoon Network, but it's about Thundercats. But the thing is, the reason why I bring it up is because there's a part where in there, it applies to me a lot. And as a kid, it hit me the first time I saw it, was there's a saying there whenever the leader of the pack grabs his sword, he says, give me sight beyond sight. And this is kind of interesting to me as a kid. I grew up hearing that and understanding that. And that kind of resonated and grew in me where all of a sudden I have to have sight beyond my own sight. The sight that I see around me and the people that I see, the things that I see around me, my business, how I see it, I have to look past that further and look into the future and kind of see where do I want it to be? And that's where I want to be. All right, then re-engineer it, kick it back, work it backwards each step. I want a successful business that's all of a sudden helping many of the people. Well then, okay, bring it back. How am I helping him? How am I creating it? What am I doing to learn how to create it? You know, it kind of like you work yourself backwards. And that helped me out so much, like it incredibly. And reading books, attaching the looking forward and re-engineering things backwards and understanding a lot of things have details in them. And it blew me away. And that's why I'm able to do a lot of things that many other people cannot do. And people find hard. And people find like, oh, that's too much to do. I'm like, I have fun doing it, really. I'm just like, and I'm zooming through it. Give me 2 minutes, I'm done. Because I re-engineered it and I started studying on the side how to do it. For example, like websites. I didn't know before. I knew about websites and I had some influences. But really what it was me taking time to watch YouTube videos that were an hour long and grabbing the small nugget of 5 minutes in there. See, knowledge that we want and knowledge to help our businesses grow are sometimes hidden within 100 pages. And those 5 pages in there are what we're looking for that will shift our lives forever. or that hour, that YouTube video, those 5 minutes is what we're looking for. And that's where it shifts me and to be different than many other if competitors or people that are doing them. So it's a lot to understand, but again, it comes down to your philosophy of how much you want it. Am I right? You get what I'm saying?
I'm very much in line with what you're saying. It's finding the signal in the noise. And it just reminds me of something I read recently about Charlie Munger, who most people are against. I know Nassim Taleb advocates for not reading any daily newspapers or any, or if you're staying up to the minute with all this minutia of news in like the finance world, you're not seeing the big picture. But Charlie Munger, who him and Warren Buffett are fountains of information.
Oh, yes.
he had said that he would read all this stuff and keep up to date with all the news and what's going on a micro level. And he only ever acted on maybe one or two small pieces of information and ignored 99.9% of what he was reading. But the one little opportunity he found, he wound up making hundreds of millions of dollars off of it.
Right. I remember that one. That was a good one. That's a good one.
It's exactly what you were saying about finding the nugget of information with your website in an hour long YouTube video.
Oh my gosh. You don't even understand. Like I was like, to create a website, you're like, what do? I have to put a code and stuff like this. And I sat through it and I was like, whatever it is, this hour, if it's depending on 25 years more of doing the same thing versus taking this hour that seems long to me and just doing this hour of study, having it change the rest of 25 years coming forward, it's worth it. I'll take this hour instead of not taking this hour and jumping on to nothing against Netflix, but like I watch Netflix too, but like instead of watching like a Netflix show and just like, whatever, I'm tired, I'm good for today. No. It's more like, I know I'm tired, but I'd rather sacrifice this hour for many hours of pleasure in the future, to have it translate to be a successful thing for me, you know, shift my life a bit. And honestly, I gotta bring your book back. Your book has done that. Like reading it shifts part of you. And just like imagine yourself as a jigsaw puzzle or like one of those cubic things that shift around. Each time you take that sacrifice to read or to learn, not even just say read, let's say learn or and be able to apply it, that is another shift to your jigsaw being solved in your life, the one that thing you wanted the most.
Every time I don't want to go to the gym and I drag myself there and do 20 minutes on the Stairmaster just to say that I worked out, it little things like that add up to a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. And you're in shape, dude. That's, to be honest, like we were walking the other day and honestly, you kept up and we were, you know, I'm sure we could have ran and done the same thing.
You wanted to take me up that huge staircase, and I was like, "Yeah, that's where I draw the line."
No, yeah. I was like, "This is not that kind of walk today."
But something that had come up during that walk, now that you bring it up, the process. I want to ask you about the process of learning new skills. You mentioned with building a website, and I know there's a lot of other things that you've been learning to do from scratch, pretty much, and. How do you go about taking all the things into consideration, what we said, like starting from the end, working backwards, designing from there? How has that process been? And what have you learned with each thing that you start from the beginning? What have you learned about the process of learning?
Yeah, it's a great question. And to jump into that answer, I do cybersecurity, so I learned a lot of things I have to learn. The biggest thing about learning here was that I, first of all, had influences around me. I had a great friend named Joseph, and he's a cybersecurity major, and he does a lot of things cybersecurity. He's in cybersecurity for New York City and things like that. But having his influence around helped me learn better. So understand that I could do it on my own, but if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go with many, you know, with your right tribe. You go with the tribe. And it's having that good influence. I've learned that helping you learn something for your business or to grow even more personally is to have the right influences as well. And having him there to help me study or having me have a question, or if I have a question, he can answer it. It's easier than me going to Google and getting frustrated and searching all through the internet. But along with that, there's also like, I learned cybersecurity. I learned website design. I learned graphic designing. I learned how to talk to people. One of the biggest things is talking to people. And that's the hardest thing for a lot of people because they have great ideas, but they can't talk to people. And for me, example, I had to sometimes get out of that barrier. I used to have a church meeting where I would talk to people. Then I went to Toastmasters and even Flex. Like, it's really, whatever you're learning, try to train it a bit. And even if it's out of your comfort zone, I was invited to Toastmaster one time and I was like, I know how to speak. But then I was like, wait, I have some time. I haven't practiced speaking for a while. You know what? Let's flex it a bit and let's see where we're at. You know, let's try it. And if I'm bad, I'm bad. And I know how to get better, but at least I will have a measurement. And again, measuring what you do is important because those things that are measured are then watched over and improved. So I went to Toastmaster. I just gotta say this real quick. I went to Toastmaster and they gave me a topic, random topic. I did it. Everyone was amazed and blown away. And I was amazed myself. And those things kind of like, it encouraged me. I then rewarded myself because then they gave me like a ribbon to say thank you. And everyone was amazed and they wanted to talk to me. Those things, because I challenged myself and because I went out of my comfort zone and to just sometimes you have to flex yourself to really see where you're at. Those things really help you progress forward. And the biggest thing we all want is progression, to really go forward. But a lot of times that progression is because we have to then train ourselves and test ourselves. So the way I learned a lot of things was to have good friends that are around the same subject. And if you don't have them, try to go out of your bounds to reach out to some people and be like, hey, just quick question, want to know this and that. Find what they like and embrace that. For example, Joseph, he liked cybersecurity, but he also liked food too. So we got a lot of times lunch and we talked a lot of things. It's always investing to other people that will invest back to you. Taking that time to learn and thinking outside the box of learning, you know?
I just wanted to throw something in here. And it's something that we brought up on that walk, the story about the two pots and the people being graded. So I'll give a little bit of context. Mm-hmm. Because we had talked about this already, for people listening, right. There's an art class. This class was split up, and they had to create the best clay pot. And half the class was judged on the quantity of pots that was created, and the other half was judged on the quality that was created. Exactly.
Right.
So as you would expect, half the class that was judged on quantity made whatever it was, dozens or hundreds of clay pots, and the people that were judged on the quality made just a handful, and they to put the extra time and effort in trying to make it perfect. And wouldn't you know, the people that were judged on quantity wound up making not only more clay pots, but better clay pots.
Right, 100%. And we talked about it, and the reason why was because when the quantity just ignored the fact of trying to be perfect and just really just started just creating and creating. Along the way, you found imperfections. You're like, oh, I can do that better. Okay, let's make it the next one, next one, next one. And then that's how you get better, by just doing it. And then the perfect people were so focused on trying to be perfect that they created only like one pot and it looked okay. And that's exactly like where you bring it. Like, I don't mean to bring it back to me, but to bring it back to the fact of how I've tried so many different businesses and really just created them, go for it, created it, go for it. Okay, pause this one, move on to the next one, pause this one, move on to the next one. And then you find one and you're like, wow. And everyone looks at it and it's like, whoa, that's really amazing what you're doing. That's where, like, even right now, I have the business right now, which is, you know, Mimi Card. And that's where I even like, that's the... that's the like one of the final like the up-to-date pots that I'm working on that is like, wow, you know, you've done all these other businesses that really kind of like taught you a lot, but it didn't bring what you wanted to come to this one, you know what I'm saying? And it was really amazing. That's a great story, and if anyone else is feeling that way, 100%, just do it, because just do your idea, stop trying to be perfect, and have every move be calculated, but just go for it. For example, like also just to add in, I do hiking, and everything I do in hiking is just to go for it and do it and never look back and be like, man, I wish I had done that, because you'll never get that time back. So I go ahead and I make a calculated risk and I make a calculated kind of like decision looking at it. And I'm like, I can do it. Just do it now, you know? Just get out of it. Get it out of the way. Do it.
I'm pretty sure you just posted a picture this morning of you on Instagram on a hike, and you were doing like a handstand on the edge of a cliff. And I can't help but picture that when you're as you're talking about just doing it.
Right. That I'm not saying you have to go forward to all the way to jump on a cliff. But for me, for example, yes, I was jumping on the cliff. I calculated the risks. I looked at the perspectives of how where I would lose balance and where I wouldn't, and those things were coming to play. Like there was a, for example, when I went hiking, I was hiking with my friend, and there's this gap between two rocks. I personally love adventure and thrills and some adrenaline rush. So I saw the gap, and I was like, they're like, don't do it because it's a huge drop. But I'm like, I know I can make it. Them saying not do it kind of put a little bit of fear in my head, because I was like, what do they know that I don't know? But then I was like, wait, pause, hold that back. Let's buffet it. They're telling me to take a calculated risk. And I'm like, okay, let me look at it again. And I looked at it and I was like, I could do it. I could see it. I know what I have to do, where I have to stand, where I have to push my foot towards from. And I was like, just do it. If I had left that day, honestly, without jumping that little thing, I know it sounds silly, but without me having to jump that little like gap for me, I would have probably looked back today and been like, I can't believe I let that stop me. And I would have been so kind of sad later in life. Like, it sounds so silly, something so small, but that small thing, like we said, small things add up to bigger things. Like later in life, someone says to me, no, don't go for that business, don't do that. Then I'm like, okay. Cause then I revert back to this moment where it built up from that. It's just snowballing, where I was like, screw that. Forget that. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm going to hear them out, but I'm going to know that I'm calculating the risk. And I'm like, do it. I jumped. Their heart was leaping out of their chest. I landed perfectly where I wanted to, exactly where I did it, where I wanted it. And I had a plan B if it didn't work out for me. So I had a plan B where if I'd landed wrong, I'd roll and so forth and so forth. There's many exit plans. But the thing is, doing it, I landed and boom, I did it. I was so happy. They were happy. Their heart was jumping. My heart was jumping. And that was such, and you just made a memorable moment that you'll never forget because you took that leap of faith. You'll never know, honestly, if you're ready or not until you just take that leap of faith and you really just go for it. And I was so happy. And that's how I got, you see all the pictures there because,
and I'm getting like, I saw.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I saw, Chris.
I'm picturing myself taking a little tumble if I tried any of those things.
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to do this exact thing, but in business, if you're entrepreneur, if you're looking at something and you're like, oh, I'm not sure about it, well, take a calculated risk and just go for it. And if it's going to mess up, it's going to mess up. Like one thing I learned from the Magic School Bus as a kid, again, like I watched these shows as a kid, but I think they're influential. Magic School Bus, Miss Frizzle was always like, get messy, make mistakes. And, you know, and they've always had a plan to keep on going. And it was true. We're always scared of being not perfect. We're always scared of messing up. But that's the part of it. You can't get perfection without messing up. And it's not saying you have to look for those mistakes and make them. You have to just try your best. And if you make a mistake, it's okay. You fall, you get back up. A lot of times I've fallen. I felt like not getting back up. I've been in depression. I've done these. I've felt like not continuing. And honestly, I think what kept me going was to say that if I ever looked back and said I stopped, I would be ashamed to myself. You know, like I feel so bad to myself. Just, but again, we learn as we go on and we really just, we progress. And it could be for me, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not here for the short term just to be rich quick. Like Buffett said, everyone wants to get rich quick. But that's the trick, though, that I think life sometimes puts in our way. There's sometimes a trick where it's like, hey, I'll give you richness real quick if you go this way, or I'll give you richness in a decent time if you go this way. You never know what life gives you and how fast you're going to get rich or how fast you're going to get wealthy. I like to be, you know, wealthy, wealthy in health, wealthy in finances, wealthy in relationships. But the thing is, how much time are you going to invest into that? Once you get it, are you going to quit it? That's the difference a lot of times where it comes to play. I look at it for the long haul. I say, I'm here, win or lose. I'll always love this. I'll always keep pushing for it. Let me do my best. And I'll always try and aim to get better. Myself, physically, financially, emotionally, and mentally, all those things. So I hope that helps a lot of people. I mean,
I bet it will. And I want to tie this together, yeah, all the things we've been talking about, with your latest venture, this business you started, Meet Me Card. And I've got mine in front of me here with my logo and name on it here. And I knew nothing about NFC. Now I know it's near field communication. Mm-hmm. And dealing with NFC chips, what's the difference between that and Bluetooth, all this stuff. And I'll give you my quick understanding is that you've designed what, and I believe the tagline is something like the last business card you'll ever need. And it's the shape of a business card, but it's an electronic card. So it's not obviously not made of paper. Mm-hmm. And I scan this. You don't even scan it. That's the problem it's solving. All you have to do, my phone could be locked. It could be unlocked. It could be whatever. I just hold the thing up near the top of my phone. It's got to be the NFC technology. It's got to be something like 0.6 centimeters or whatever it is within that field of the chip in my phone. And it pops up in my internet browser with pretty much my virtual business card where I've curated all my links and all this stuff. And you've had, I know you told me an interesting story about how you started with this and where you've got from the beginning to now. Tell me about this card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for bringing up the, okay. So the card is actually, yes, exactly. As you said, the last business card you'll ever need. This business venture I'm working on, I've created, like you said, we've all had, if you've had ever a business card, you know that a lot of times, 98% of the time, people usually throw it out or lose the business card. So with this business card, you only need to have one business card and tap someone's phone and all your information can show up on their phone. Now, instead of carrying a bunch of business cards, I know people have questions automatically. And they're like, wait, so let me get this straight. I'm going to break it through easily. So instead of carrying a bunch of business cards in your pocket, whenever you go to a get together or a meetup or anything business wise, you actually can carry this one card, tap someone's phone, unlock it, unlock their phone, have them unlock their phone, just tap the top of this. Usually it's next to the camera, the chip, and boom, you can, any information you want to share, you can share it. For example, Mike, you put the information for your phone number, your email, and your website. Boom, that's it. No personal information shared, just what you want to share, you know? And instead of the person losing the business card, now they have it on their phone, can save it on their phone. Literally, you're not wasting anything. You're not wasting money. And on top of that, you're helping the environment. You're not hurting trees by cutting them just to create these business cards to have be thrown out. And are they biodegradable? No. So a lot of times we create, for business wise, we look for the better innovation. And I created this so that it can help out businesses, help out the environment, help out even just many other people with the need to have their business expand quicker and stronger. So I hope I answered every question. I hope I answered every question.
Oh, just I throw in before I forget the initial prototype you started with.
Oh my gosh. The initial prototype. So I had a chip. All I did was have a chip and I put it between two note cards. And oh my gosh, these note cards looked so basic, if anything. And I had a couple of my friends. I said, here, run around with these and try them out and see how you feel about it. They loved it. They're just like, the card doesn't look that great. And I said, don't worry. I just wanted to make sure it worked. See, the thing is, bringing it back to the thing before, we said, like, I could have worked on the design and been like, I got to make it perfect. I got to make the card look good. I got to make it. Oh, no, I can't give it to anyone just yet. No, screw that. I said, I'm going to make it even with two paper cards, wrapping a chip in it. Let's do it. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. And they came. You know what happened? They came back a lot faster with results that I could have done alone. So they came back with feedback and all I did was take it, fix it. And it created even perfection just doing it, just like those pot, like that pot story, the pottery story, where I made a bunch, I learned from it, and I just made the perfect one, where now it's a card, and it has a specific design to the card, where it's actually nicely handled for the hand, as well it's easy tap, and it's waterproof, and as well it is able to be traveled anywhere with ease. and I could be running, I could be in a business meeting, I could be in the kitchen, I could be with friends at college, I could be anywhere I am and tap anyone's phone, Android, iPhone, Samsung, any phone. It can literally share this information, and it's not attached to an app. So the reason why I did that was because the apps now, they carry a lot of weight in your phone. So to be much more, how do you say, savvy for your space on your phone, I didn't want to make a heavy app for it. So I created, so I had it link with the web, your web provider, so that it can actually easily be found, saved without storing any gigabytes or weight to your phone. So you wouldn't lose memory. Like, you want to take a picture one day, you're like, I have to delete an app. You know, you ever been there? You ever had that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm at that point pretty much right now.
Exactly. So we make it so much easier in all aspects for the environment, for the person, for their phone. And it really is able to share your information a lot quicker. And especially with this pandemic happening, we don't really want to take things from people in our hands and have it stored in our pocket and forget it. And then someone in our takes, you know, our clothes and all of a sudden it's passed on spreading. Instead, you just tap the phone with your card and boom, it's all it's done. It's just very easy, very simple. And on top of that, the card right now it's only a one-time payment for $29.99 on the website mimicard.com. You literally can design your logo on it and have any logo you want on it, your business logo you like. And on the back of it, for example, if your phone is not working and you have an older model phone, we instead also have on the back a QR code so people can scan it. So there's many different ways to have the information be transferred, and there's just every possible way to make it easy for people. And just easy for the user to share their information. Like, I went recently, oh my gosh, I went to my card. I had my card always with me. And I went to go out eat with a couple friends. And then somebody saw one of my friends and was like, hey, they caught up. They're like, I don't have either of your phone numbers, so mine or his. And I said, that's no problem. I just pulled out my card, told them to pull out their phone, and I just tapped their phone. And you should see the face they had, their eyes widened, their minds were blown, they were impressed, and they were like, what is that? Because it's new technology, and it's really solving an issue here. We just solved the problem that she didn't have my phone number or my friend's phone number. So easily, she was able to have my phone number, my email, my website, just by a touch. And it was literally helpful. And it ended up that she worked for Allstate, and now they're ordering from us as well. So
that's something. I can imagine that if I was meeting someone, a professional contact or personally, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm out there, I'm putting stuff out on LinkedIn, my website, Instagram, all that stuff, but it's all different handles, different names, different all this and that, instead of just bothering someone for a long time, add me here at this. It's all in one unique place that's easy to transfer.
And access, and, yeah.
Exactly, transfer and access. And yeah. not only, unrelated to the card, I know there's a story that Steve Jobs cared so much about what the inside of the Mac computers looked like. And I got my card, you sent it in the mail, and the envelope it came in, it was an envelope inside of a package. So I opened up the package, there's an envelope, and there was an old-fashioned wax seal sealing the envelope that I thought was just such an incredible touch that I can't say I've ever received anything in a sealed envelope like that before.
Right, yes. We wanted to design it so that when you receive it, the card, it's not just... you got your card. Not at all. Again, it's from reading books and learning from different people and learning from the great ones, the goats of our generations and past, that you can understand where you have to take some value in. So just throwing you a card wasn't my idea and just saying, here, let me have your money. No, that's not at all. That's never the focus for me. It was always, how is your experience when you receive it? How is the experience when you use it? And how is the experience forever towards the environment around you? So when you receive it, you definitely get a card with a wax seal on it, because who doesn't love that? You know, you get a wedding invitation, you're always like freaked out. So we really try to aim towards that kind of perspective where our design really made you feel, not just on the outside, but also on the inside. So when you open it, you have design, you have your, it's customized for you, specifically for you. And we also attach a video along with it so that you can, we can welcome you with it. So it's really, if you're not hit by the first pay, the first gate, you're hit by the second one, you're hit by a third. And it's just, we hope to make it always pleasurable, but also efficient for the person, whoever's able to join us on this journey. You know what I'm saying?
The user experience was incredibly well thought out and designed. So I say that. But I want to wrap up here with, you know, the synonymous question with the podcast of, it could be related to this business, could be related to anything you're up to personally. If you had a 25th hour in a day, mm-hmm. to use for personal development, you know, maybe you do want to watch Netflix with an extra hour, maybe the benefits of that outweigh the costs, what would be your ideal use of an extra hour?
Oh man, I always wished for that extra hour. Actually, I make it sometimes. But I would say I would divvy it up, because if that extra hour came, I would, how you say, there's a saying not to put all your baskets, all your eggs in one basket. So for me, I would divvy it up to be partial continued learning or partial application, and also pleasure. You like, literally, I can tell you that with all the studying and all the reading, it's not all about that only. You have to remember that you have to reward yourself when you're done, how you say, doing the hard work. Whenever I finish this section of my business and I finish, like, for example, something about the chip I need to fix, boom. After I fixed it, I was so happy. I had to reward myself. So I then either enjoyed a good movie. I either played a great video game that I loved, or I danced. I love dancing. And that's one of the things, you have to reward yourself. So I got to say that with all this stuff, and it's not to really burden people to feel like, oh, you got to do better. It's also the fact that, yes, do better, but also remember that the reason why you're doing better is to reward yourself. So if you don't reward yourself, you won't understand why you're doing it. And you start fading away with that feeling like, oh, I'm just doing this. And it's like, ugh, whatever. I don't care about it anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. That is one of the biggest things. The reward is there to set the tone, to say, you're going for it. You're doing great. Keep on going. Because I learned from the rich people when I used to live with, really wealthy people in North Carolina with one of my mentors. And they taught me that whenever we did a deal, they bought themselves, for them, when the pleasures, one of their rewards was to buy themselves a Range Rover, or to buy a new horse, or to, and your level goes up as you keep on going, or to have an evening out for yourself. You know, those rewards are very important. So to add it back to the, where I would do for an extra hour, I would split it between two things. I would actually split that hour in half and say half an hour to just try something for fun and apply for my business. And then the other half to reward myself for doing all these great things. You got to remember that we're in this because we want something in the future. But if we don't ever taste that future little by little, we're going to forget the taste, and we're not going to even remember what we're doing it for. And we're just creating just a regular day job for us. And we need to remember that that hour, that extra hour is very important for us to choose what we want in life, you know?
I knew you'd come up with a very, very interesting answer, and I had no clue where you're going to go with that. And I'm going to thoroughly enjoy going back through all the things you were talking about, and I'll have to add if there are applicable articles and stuff to the notes where people mm-hmm. can find them. But I just want to thank you again for the Meet Me card. You can find it at meetmecard.com. All the incredible insights you shared today, and for me having the opportunity to learn from you and seeing you take on all these new interesting things, it's been a great experience.
I really greatly appreciate this time. Thank you so much. I really had a great time talking to you, and I know whoever comes on next is going to keep on enjoying your podcast.
I hope that's the case. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Okay, talk to you guys soon.
A huge thank you to Chris once again. If you've made it to the end of this episode, and especially if you enjoyed the books, articles, and lessons discussed, I promise you'd enjoy my weekly newsletter on the best things I've learned each week. The link to sign up is in the show notes. Now, I want to leave you with this quote from Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why. He writes, "When people come to work with a higher sense of purpose, they find it easier to weather hard times or even to find opportunity in those hard times." It also dawned on me that this is the last podcast episode I'll be releasing in the year 2020. So thank you for those of you who have taken part in this journey with me thus far, and I'm really looking forward to what 2021 has in store. Thanks for listening.